You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Today is Thursday, July 7th, and we're talking Cubs baseball, as always, with our Cubs reporter, Kerry Muscat. And, Kerry, we thank you for the time, as always. And, Kerry, tough stretch for the Cubs, obviously, right now. Back on June 19th, after winning that day, they were at their high water mark of the season at 27 games over 500. Since then, just 5-12. Now, the loss, as we've discussed in previous podcasts, of Dexter Fowler has been a very big factor. He is on the comeback trail, hopefully. We'll address that in just a little bit. But getting back to the struggles of the team, in your eyes, what has been most concerning about this recent 5-12 stretch that they've been on the last 3 weeks?
Well, it really just shows the impact that Fowler had on the team when he signed. And it's not just it's not that Ben Zobrist is not doing the job as the leadoff man. It's that they miss having Zobrist. What Madden likes to call a Rizzo sandwich. He would have Zobrist and Bryant batting around Rizzo, you know, either Zoe in front and then Bryant after him or flip-flop. And by not having that, it's affected the rest of the lineup. So it's sort of a combination not just of losing Fowler, but the effect it has on the rest of the lineup by filling in for him and losing Zoe later in the lineup.
And, Kerry, as far as the pitching goes, you know, it's a very small, tiny, minute sample size, but in six games so far in July, the Cubs' pitching staff dead last in the majors in team ERA, which is above seven right now. You know, we hear that when you're having success, that can be contagious from one star and one starter to the next. Are we seeing the same thing at the other end of the spectrum where one guy struggles and the bleeding continues and nobody's been able to go out there and really stop the bleeding so far?
Well, Kyle Hendricks did a good job in terms of stopping it. I really think people need to be a little more realistic regarding the Cubs' expectations. There's no way that Arrieta, Lester, Hamill, that these guys are going to have, you know, maintain that pace for the whole season. I mean, teams go through cycles, teams have little bumps. Their bump just happened to be in New York against the Mets, which didn't look good. And they struggled a little bit against the Nationals, which didn't look good, and the Marlins. They're, you know, the Reds came in here and were in attack mode. I think it's cyclical, and I think it's just kind of that stretch right now where the guys are struggling. It's probably a good idea that they had Adam Warren, they inserted him as the sixth man in the rotation on Wednesday against the Reds to give everybody a breather. You know, the starters aren't going to say that they need that, but it certainly is should pay off in the long run.
Yeah, and was that an idea brought about by Joe Maddon to give Warren that spot start? Because did he kind of sense that, you know, my guys are wearing down, and even to give them an extra day of rest between starts is going to be beneficial? Did that come from Maddon himself?
Well, I think it was Maddon and pitching coach Chris Fazio and kind of a collective thought. You know, early in the season, they'd had kind of built-in off days with days off, with rainouts. They were able to give everybody a little bit of a breather. They're in a stretch right now of 24 straight games leading into the break. And I think it's just, let's let everybody take a deep breath. And two, let's see what Adam Warren has. You know, the Cubs have the luxury of having a nine-game lead or a significant lead in the division. So they have the luxury of being able to send Warren out there and see what they have. You know, really, if they needed a sixth starter, he's the guy. And it was good to get him stretched out at Iowa. He made two starts down there before his game on Wednesday against the Reds. So now at least they know what they've got.
And Warren, it was quite an outing for him on Wednesday because he gave up a leadoff homer to the first guy he faces, Zach Cozart. Then that was it through five innings, I believe, just the one run on the three hits. And he looked pretty impressive to me, Kerry.
Yeah, he did. And Cozart battled him. I mean, it was a 10-pitch at bat for the leadoff man, and then he homered on the 10th pitch. And then Warren said he felt good because he was able to settle down. One of the things he did when he was made his minor league starts was he used all his pitches, and that helped him. That's something he needs to get back to. So he was able to do that against the Reds, and he feels a lot better about his outing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely, even though they lost, a good sign for the Cubs that they got Warren out there for five innings of one-run ball, and as you said, a valuable sixth starter, should they need one somewhere down the road, whether guys need rest or somebody gets hurt. That's a very good option to have. Kerry, want to backtrack a little bit to the offensive end of things. You brought up Dexter Fowler. It seems like he's on the comeback trail. I believe that the Cubs want him to rehab prior to the All-Star break. What's the status on him?
Yeah, Fowler was named the starter to the National League team, All-Star team, but he hasn't played since June 18th because of a hamstring injury. So the goal, hopefully, now we're talking Thursday afternoon, the goal is to have him play some minor league games this by the end of this week, which would be, if today's Thursday, there's not much end of the week left, because they don't want him just going from the disabled list to the All-Star game. They need to make sure that he's ready. It's more important for him to be ready for the second half than it is for him to be ready for the All-Star game in San Diego. And I know that's hard for Dexter. That might be hard for Dexter to understand. We haven't talked to him. We talked to him Wednesday. We didn't get a chance to talk. We talked to him Tuesday. Didn't get a chance to talk to him Wednesday. So I think today is kind of a key day to figure out where he's at.
Yeah, absolutely. One of many Cubs voted to the Midsummer Classic at San Diego, which we're going to touch on in just a bit. And, Kerry, of course, now that we're well into the month of July, we're going to hear lots of chatter and discussion about the trade deadline coming up. Now, in our neck of the woods here in New York, we hear a lot of talk about, you know, the Yankees, for instance, are kind of floundering around .500 all season, but they've got that lights-out bullpen of Betances and Miller and Chapman, obviously, who spent his entire career in the NL Central before this year. Now, is there that same sort of discussion in your neck of the woods in Chicago where the Cubs, you know, I mean, no bullpen's going to be perfect all year. We're obviously seeing that. Trevor Cahill had some struggles on Wednesday. But is there any chatter or discussion, again, on your end, on the Cubs' end, about, you know what, we're going to aggressively explore an option here for a lights-out reliever or even some help in the rotation? What's been the talk there?
Well, they are always on the lookout for help, but people have to remember the bullpen lately has not had Adam Warren and it's not had Clayton Richard. And because Richard's been taking care of a nail injury and a blister that he had, and Warren's been getting prepped for the rotation. So that's two key pieces that have been out of there. They tried Joel Peralta. That didn't work. He was designated for assignment. There might be a sleeper in-house in Joe Nathan, who's been rehabbing at AA Tennessee. They've got Brian Matus, I think that's how you pronounce it, getting some work in at Mesa. He might be another option. Last year, they picked up Cahill and Richard late in the season, and both of them were nice surprises for the pen. And I think they're looking more for that than to make a big splash, as much as the New York media would like them to think that they will make a big splash.
Yeah, everything's a big deal up here, as you well know. So just something that's been bandied about if there's a potential trade partnership there. But as you said, they've got some guys on the comeback trail from injury. So once they get their full complement of relievers, the Cubs bullpen should stabilize. Do you see them at all addressing the rotation? Because all five guys have been so great this year. We know we brought up the recent tough stretch for, you know, Arrieta, and for Lester was just a way off his game against the Mets, and Lackey too has been a little shaky. Or do you think they stand pat and just say, you know what, we're not going to panic about the small sample size, we're good with who we've got?
I don't see any changes to the rotation at all. That's considering that they've gone with the five up to now. You know, I think that's fine. Really, the bullpen is the thing that needs to be dealt with. As much as Madden would like to run Travis Wood out there every day, he can't do that. So they need to figure out a way to get left-handers out and find somebody else that can help.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting few weeks regarding the trade deadline coming up on, I think this year it's August 1st. It's pushed back a day, but we'll see what the Cubs do with that bullpen leading up until then. And, Kerry, want to bring up, Jake Arrieta, and I know that, Joe Madden, as always, he's cool as a cucumber about his recent struggles. He said, you know, his demeanor never changes, whether he's, you know, won nine straight games or lost nine straight games, it always stays the same. Arrieta, to his credit, never makes excuses. He acknowledges that he's struggling. I believe the numbers since the start of June, 3-3, a 4.05 ERA. So again, I don't want to say that he's struggling. He's just not been superhuman as he was for pretty much an entire calendar year. Is there or should there be at least some cause for concern that this is not like a one or two stretch bump and that this has been something rather extended for the last five or six starts. What's your take on him?
I'm not worried. I know that's a word that are concerned really about Jake. I think part of the problem is that he's just had some issues with fastball command, and when he can't control his fastball and can't get the pitches where he wants to go, then he doesn't seem to be able to right himself. Something that somebody noted to me, which I thought was interesting, was that he has not won a game in which the Cubs have scored, unless the Cubs have scored four runs or more. So there's the issue of, you know, can he handle the close games? And that's something that we'll have to see in the second half. I don't worry at all, or I'm not concerned about Arrieta. I think it's just a matter of he's just got to get some things back on track, and maybe it might be a matter of people stop giving him advice and just letting him go pitch.
Yeah, I agree. You see everything on social media and you know, and other forms of communication trying to tell him what he's doing wrong and what he should be doing, and maybe it's a matter of just you know, getting all that nonsense out of the way and going out there and being the pitcher that he can be. Kerry, to wrap up here, as we touched on briefly, Tuesday, a banner day for the Cubs organization. The entire infield selected as starters for the All-Star game. That is simply amazing. Chris Bryant, Addison Russell, Ben Zobrist, Anthony Rizzo from left to right. And they are just a portion of the, I believe, eight Cubs voted into the All-Star game, whether by fan vote or player vote or by the manager selection. And in talking, it seems like the reactions you got from the players, they're not only honored to you know, be voted in and to be going to the All-Star game, but it seems like they're rather in awe by the fan support that the starters got, by Cubs Nation really getting behind these guys. And again, just judging based on what they said to you, this is something that's very deeply meaningful to them.
Well, for a guy like Ben Zobrist, he beat out the Nationals' Daniel Murphy by 88 votes to get the starting second base spot. 88 votes, if you think about the way the voting was set up, that means three people.
Yeah.
You know, three people voted, three more people voted for Zobrist than they did for Murphy, if you look at it that way. And that's what it comes down to. And it's an interesting, I know Cub fans are such that as soon as they would see the ballot, I'm sure that they checked off all the Cub players, you know, just boom, 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 and went that way. You know, it's a compliment. It's a nice, not compliment, but it's nice to see that the fans turn out and support the team. It's really nice to see a young shortstop like Addison Russell get that kind of recognition. Dexter Fowler, I know, said he was surprised that anybody knew who he was, so he was surprised by that. You know, and Bryant and Rizzo have been pretty popular guys, so they've gotten the attention, but there are seven Cubs that will be going, because it's Arrieta and Lester that will be joining the position players. And I think it'll be just a nice trip to San Diego for the group.
So a lot of Cubs are heading to San Diego. Kerry, are you?
No.
And I would think that maybe, you know, a few days off from the grind can't be a bad thing, correct?
No, it's not. It's fine. Preferred to go, to be honest, I chose to go to the Cubs series against Pittsburgh right before the break, because to me, this is, the Pirates are coming in the Central Division, and I thought this was going to be a little more interesting series this weekend.
Yeah, excellent point. The Pirates are red hot right now, and there's still a long way to go in the season. The Cubs lead still sizable, but again, crazier things have happened. Kerry, we appreciate the time as always. That's Cubs reporter Kerry Muscat joining us this week. We'll do it again next week for sure. In the meantime, Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.